This is an agenda item. This is for the same. This is that last action that was taken.
Did you send this out?
No, I have not.
Okay. Here's my corrections if I was going to send it out.
Call our meeting to order. All commissioners present and Mr. Preston. A visit about some road and bridge items, Purvis Lane, and whatever else he's got on the list.
Okay.
I don't have an agenda in front of me.
Purvis Lane was one thing specifically.
Okay. I think Mr. Pennell brought that up.
Yes, I got a call a week or two ago from Pat Woodbury, who's at the bottom of Purvis Lane, asking if we could run a grader on it again. And Frank had questioned whether, when we did that last time, whether it was a one-time deal. And he's got us the motion here that says move to have Road and Bridge run a grader down Purvis Lane using existing material to improve the road. And actually, Jim and I voted for it, and Danny voted against it. And that's all you found on it?
No. This is the Purvis Lane file that goes back to the 1980s. It's been petitioned twice. There's a lot of information here.
That's the only motion of the last two years.
And the second week of September of last year is when we did the actual grading of the road. And at that time, we anticipated that any heavy rains would
possibly wash it out.
Yes.
And that was last September.
It does exceed our standards for grade percent. It's very, very steep. And I guess my question is, if we go in and grade it again, are we setting a precedent for other county roads?
Probably.
My one real close would be Blue Ridge.
Mm.
And he is well aware of what goes on around that area.
I haven't been out to Purvis Lane in the last couple week or so, but is there material that if we ran a grader down there again, would they need to bring material in, or can they just?
I haven't driven it since last time we talked about it. We could make an improvement sending a grader down there with what's existing, I would hope. That's what we did last time. But I don't know that in particular without going out there.
I'm fine with sending the grader back with the existing material. I mean, I guess my question is, if it's not going to do any good, then I'm too excited. So
it's evidently done some good, because we wasn't until a couple weeks ago, nearly went a year before we got a call, so for the little cost, I would be in favor of us running the grader down it again.
My concern as Taney County Road and Bridge Administrator is that we're setting a precedent on maintaining roads that are not county maintained. This will be the third time in our file that we have done maintenance on a road that's not county maintained. If you would like me to go maintain, I'll do whatever you want to this road, as long as you're aware that we could possibly be setting a precedent in the wrong direction.
So if I was to say, what you would rather us not do it then, Frank?
I'm just asking you to be cautious of a precedent we may set. There's a significant group of people that live on Blue Ridge that have very similar road, very similar location, very similar problems. It costs a lot to upgrade that road to an all-weather road. If we do this, what's my answer to the next person that comes from Blue Ridge that says, why did you do this over here and why won't you do it to mine?
Just curious. I have one. Let me finish the thought, Chuck, and then, which is there extra material on Blue Ridge on the sides and stuff? I mean, I thought Blue Ridge was a whole lot different, because Blue Ridge, you got some issues, some ledge rock. You come to
There is ledge rock on Blue Ridge. Running a grader down both of those without even looking at it, I'm sure would make an improvement on either one of them.
Okay.
From its current condition. And I'm not opposed to doing anything my superiors asked me to do. But I do want my concerns to be noted.
Well, I'd be more than happy to make a motion to take it in for maintenance as we did last time and no more. Just running the grader on it once a year. So that your issue of, I know it doesn't resolve the other issue of Blue Ridge.
But I'm good with running down. I move that we run the grader down Purvis Lane using existing material for this. We'll just do it one time only, and we'll just bring it up every time.
I'll second the motion. I bet we've got discussion.
We do. If we do this, gentlemen, every citizen in this county that has a road that has been platted deserves the same. And that's not consistent with the policy set up. This road's been turned down by two previous commissions, or maybe more. I don't know, two that I know of. And I, you know, do I have feelings for those people that live down there? Yes, I do. Did they buy the property knowing that the road was in that condition? Yes, they did. Who has responsibility? The property owners, just like I do on my property. If I spend money on the road, then am I going to have the county reimburse me for the money that I've spent on the road? No. And I'm not expecting the county to do anything until it's went through the process, and I just cannot see that we set a precedent in this area that has a long-lasting effect throughout the entire county.
Okay. Another discussion? Ready to vote?
I'm ready to vote.
All those in favor say aye. Aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
To clarify and make sure I understand this correctly, the motion is to grade Purvis Lane one time without hauling additional resources in material, and to do it with this motion only, no additional grading after that.
Correct.
Okay.
That's my understanding as well.
Okay.
All right. We've got transfer station down. You got something to report on that?
I put that down.
You did?
I had a thought.
Okay.
So I wanted to bring a thought up. We changed the hours the other day, extended the hours to 7:30 to 5. What we did is obviously increased the work for all the employees out there. And one of the thoughts I had was possibly, we're already paying overtime out there anyway, so just overtime's overtime. We have some employees that are looking for any extra hours whatsoever. Okay? So my thought is we have, if we were to pick up a part-time person for Saturdays only that works the shack only, that means the four employees that are, you know, the drivers and all that, the other four employees out there could just work one Saturday a month and we'd get the same coverage because we'd have a Saturday person take care of the station, I mean, to the shack, who is, I can tell you, there's our mailroom person, he's already bonded. So he's used to touching money. He's looking for extra hours. His overtime is going to be no more, it's going to be the smallest overtime amount versus for anybody because, I mean, he gets paid the $10 an hour, the individual. And I thought he's willing to work. He is bonded already, which we didn't have to go through that process. He obviously we've got some trust because he's handling all our interoffice and all of our postage. So I just thought, and I've talked to him to see if he would be interested. He actually came to me with that idea. So anyway, that was just a thought to just help fix some of the problem because I don't want to close a Saturday. The more I think about it, I think Danny brought it up last time on the transfer station. It's, you know, even though we're getting You know, if one of the reports show that 60% of the users on Saturday is still outside the area, it's still the 40% that we are serving in the area, in our county.
I wasn't able to get detailed enough information to find out which cars were coming from out of the area.
Right.
But I was able to report that the average Saturday is between 45 and 60 customers. That's a significant number, although the commercial haulers, which would be generate the most income to us based on tonnage fees, they're seldom to none, sometimes one per Saturday. But I think it's a valuable service for at 45 to 60 customers, including people like myself that work 8 to 5 that go there quarterly or so.
Right.
The other thing is I'm not sure that the extended hours, we'll know at the end of next week what that really has done to the bottom line, and or the way we advertised it was that it would be verbal notice to the commercial haulers that that the site was accessible on an extended period of time. That may be different than advertising that it's open to the general public, which may in turn increase revenue also. One other thing to consider is the transfer station of recycling metal. We're about a week away from 90-day period and reviewing that, and I think the last number I heard was around $5,000 generated. We'd have to minus our expenses on that, but the area not only looks better, it's generating income also, mm-hmm. So that would help with the
part-timer.
The part-time.
The I can just tell you, I drove by there either Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and it was three vehicles lined up, one MoDOT, and then two commercial haulers at 7 o'clock, waiting outside the gate at 7 o'clock on the road already. So, I mean, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
I think it just opening a little earlier is a benefit. More people will actually take advantage of it, I think. But anyway, what's your thoughts about the overtime? That putting somebody else out there to help Karen out.
It's as long as the budget line that isn't affected, I'm fine with it. The more it's open for the service of citizens, I'm all right with it.
One of the concerns when we met with the employees, and I think I mentioned this last Monday, was the constant having to work 6 days a week was getting to be a hardship on them for family time and things of that nature. I'm in favor of not having them work 6 days a week.
My only concern with your idea and using our mailroom guy is, have we got a gut feeling that that's going to be, that we're going to continue? My point is, I hate for us to go break him in, so to speak, and use him for a week or two and then decide, well, let's do something else. Using somebody at a lower rate to minimize the cost is a good thing, and
right.
He seems to be a very good worker, and the bonding thing's a good thing and all that jazz. I guess I'm just asking, are we thinking this through far enough so we don't end up with moving somebody out there and kind of breaking them in? Then
the need to have relief for Saturday,
it's pretty pressing.
It has been an ongoing issue since I've been here for 3 years now. It's something that's constantly brought up.
So if we don't make any big changes, it's a good thing.
For the employees, they would welcome this change wholeheartedly.
All right, I'm good with it.
So then I guess it needs to be a motion. I'm just trying to think how I would do it. I move that we authorize Mike Gibbs to start training and fulfill Saturday workload at the transfer station.
In the shack.
In the shack.
Second. Discussion.
All four Saturdays, you mentioned three.
I'm just thinking it's got to be at least three, otherwise it's a waste.
Okay.
And if Karen wanted to work a Saturday, or if he needed a Saturday off or something, but the hours are strictly 8 to 12. So, that's the hours of operation, aren't they?
Very close to that.
I think they're 8 to 12, I think from my notes said. So at least three, let's put it that way.
Okay.
You good, Danny?
We're going to vote, aren't we?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Next thing I'd like to talk about is the road to the airport. I've had four calls this morning, two from employees, and I don't know enough about it to respond to the calls. Couple of questions from calls are, if the county's considering it, why wouldn't they consider it to be given to us? Have we purchased roads before? What does it do to our trust fund? That's my question. If any of these 20 grants go through.
Let's do one at a time.
Well, we have an airport discussion. Do we want to do that now?
If you want to do it.
I can go through the calendar unless that's what people are here for.
Well, do you have your document ready? I mean, there's obviously, is there anything else before we get to that road? How's that?
Yes.
I believe it is. I'll go check with John and be sure.
Okay. I'm just thinking, why jump around when we can just get Frank's stuff okay. knocked out and then we'll go to the airport road.
Okay. I had a lengthy conversation last week with Gary Miller from Quail Road. That's the ditch line alongside the home. I mentioned to him that the ditch line had been in that condition and or similar. I found photographic evidence from 3 years ago that showed that the ditch was very similar to that. And I requested that, per your request, he call the commission, and I have the file. He will be here. I believe I saw it on the calendar for Friday morning at 8:30. And I'll put a little file in your inboxes to show you the cost estimate and the research that was done when it was taken in and things of that nature. Did look at the petition when it was taken in, I believe it was 1988, and there was no mention of a drainage easement or no mention that drainage was an issue at any location on Quail Road. This week should be the final week of our normal chip seal program. We went from 65 miles to 75 miles. We added 10 miles additional of asphalt roads, which we are able to complete those 10 miles at about $160,000 to $180,000. If we were to pave those roads with conventional methods, that cost figure would have been closer to $1 million. So hitting those roads at the appropriate time is preventive maintenance, and we were able to do that at this point in time. After the traditional chip seal, meaning long stretches of roads or neighborhoods, we'll be doing patch chipping. We'll do a 100-foot stretch or a 500-foot stretch in certain areas where the roads have blown up, and we'll just be patching chip sealing, and that should continue on for 2 weeks or so. We're in the middle of formulating year 2011 chip seal program and also asphalt program, and that's in the early stages, but we hope to have that ready in the next few weeks for your review to let you know what our intentions are for next year's road maintenance programs. Per MoDOT, Randy has been working on a update of the road inventory for gas tax monies. It hasn't been done since 2003, possibly 2004. Haven't been able to pinpoint that date, but I think it's critical that we return an accurate inventory so that our gas tax monies reflect what we're actually taking care of. And with the amount of roads that have been taken in, that may be advantageous to us. Two things in wrapping up the chip seal conversation. Several things that we've done this year have had positive comments from both the workforce and the public. One thing is on the chip seal program. The chip seal program has been rather successful this year. The roads look good. We switched to a MAC 400 oil, which is a completely different oil than we've traditionally used for many, many years. It sets up a lot faster and a lot harder. And we knew that going into the program that you had to have a tight train, a construction train, to have the ability to use this oil. There were a couple of days where we had rain issues within 1 hour of the last application of the oil, which last year hurt us in several locations and cost us some money in repairing people's cars and undercarriages. This oil and this chip seal has been working so well that road science has brought in three teams of other commissioners from other counties and local jurisdictions to show them what a successful chip seal program looks like and what the roads look like before and after. And that fact in and of itself is something that we can be proud of, that other people are coming to look at our chip seal. Actually, some of them were very, very impressed and took videos, and so I'm and pictures, and proud to be a part of that team. Second thing I'm glad that we changed this year, and this was based on an employee suggestion. In the mowing program, we've split the county into a significant number of routes, east-west, and then we've split those routes up, those territories up into routes also. In the traditional way of mowing, we would send the guys out, spread out sort of in a broadcast method, and start mowing throughout the county. And it would take, depending on the size of the route, between 4, 6, and 8 weeks to complete that particular territory in the route. Based on an employee suggestion this year, we concentrated our mowing crews in large groups, typically 4 to 6 mowers at one time. For instance, T Highway, we were done in T Highway on the first go-around in 7 days, and the second go-around in 10 days, versus traditionally what would have taken us 4 to 6 weeks to do. So that mowing has generated some compliments that we didn't get in the past. If you go into an area and it takes you a week to 10 days to do the entire area, everything looks mowed and fresh at one time versus it takes 4 to 6 weeks to have that area mowed. And I wanted to mention that because that was an employee suggestion that we put into place.
Good.
And that's all I have for your information today, other than the letter to the Army Corps. I put a copy in your box, and I ask you to take a look at it, not necessarily needing a response right now, but the letter is addressed to Glenn Prophet, who is the project manager for the Bull Shoals Minimal Flow Project. As my letter mentions, I did some research, and all of their early publications, not only internally, but things that went to the media, stated that Bull Shoals would be raised 5 feet in elevation. And the last meeting that we had, they came in and presented the fact that they would raise Slough Hollow 3 feet and ask us if we wanted to pursue our option of raising it the additional 2 feet. Well, their publications, among other things, their reports, showed that they were the ones that discussed the 5 foot in elevation change. So I'm requesting another meeting with them to discuss that matter, and we have more so defined the areas of conflict or areas that we'd have problem or damage with that 5 foot elevation change. And that's all I have.
Frank, on that subject, we had Randy report that there's 5 roads that are going to be affected now instead of the 2 that they wanted to take care of. They wasn't even sure they were going to take care of Barker Hole, but they talked about Slough Hollow, and now what Randy has 5 roads.
I believe it's somewhere between 3 for sure, Mr. Strahan. Possibly I've heard 4 and I've heard 5, so I've not seen the list myself.
All right. And then the other question that I've got that I would like to have CC to all, Mr. Fancher, Mr. Heiser, and Mr. Case, a response to that's over, I think it's over a year due. I can't remember, Jim, when me and you and Chuck wasn't able to make the meeting that we traveled in location for the
I can't find it real fast.
Lake access, and they agreed wholeheartedly that it would be done, and that if we sent the information to them, that they would get it back to us, and we still haven't received it. They were all in real cordial and in approval of what we talked about.
Approval of what now, Danny?
The lake access is the one at
Old Hart is one, I believe. Savage is another.
Savage, and where was the other one? I don't know. We got.
We set it up to visit which one, though? It was.
We went to them, Jim. You went to Pro Tem.
Well, no, I'm trying to search the actual day.
Now, this still has to do with the minimum flow, or is this another?
Yes, it will. I mean, we'll have our levels of road to the lake access will be raised to the 5 feet. That's what my argument was with them the other day, that we had used the 5 feet on all of our
lakeside access improvement project that we did at Yandale Cove was one, and so we based those improvements on a 5 foot elevation change, and there's three or four pending projects that they had previously approved for lakeside access roads, and they asked for some PDF files and some engineered drawings. We sent all those and we did not get them back, so we're hesitating on moving forward with without their full complete acknowledgement of receipt of our information and their full approval, although their approval was verbal at the time of the field visits.
Now, who was here in that meeting? Who was?
All three of them, Mark Case, the three I named, that's the reason I named them, Mr. Fincher, John Heiser. And Chuck couldn't go that day, had some emergency or something turn up and couldn't go with us.
Which two sites did we show them first?
We went to Old Hart and to...
That was way down in Pro Tem area,
right.
The boat launch type facility.
Remember that one? The two ones we had just completed, we showed them.
We went to those too. That was Yandale Cove and
that's what it was.
Mission Road, the end of Mission Road. We showed
December 11th. No, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
It seemed to me like it's been longer.
No,
but these projects, this what we're talking about right now, were projects we were going to do. We were just needing permission. We weren't asking the minimum flow project to pay for them.
No.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
No, these, when I made my argument about the 3 and 5 feet, I said you made us use our 5 foot level on our lake accesses. Okay. You see how my argument went?
As a baseline to make these improvements.
Exactly. But you're not saying that we're asking Game and Fish to pay for it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know it. I thought it wasn't that long ago.
So I think what I hear is, Mr. Strand, you're asking that I send these three gentlemen a letter to remind them that they'd given verbal approval. We've sent them the information.
Everything they requested.
We'd like to move forward.
Right.
With those improvements?
Yeah.
Do we have a cost? I mean, we've been watching our budget pretty close.
We just want permission first, I think, is what we're trying to get, right?
Well, Danny's saying go ahead and do it.
Well, we did. We would look at the budget on Frank's budget as we get approval for him. I mean, we'd need to know before the first of the year with his budget coming in whether we're going to go ahead and pursue him. I think, I don't know exactly how, there's no way to estimate the dollars until we get approval, or why would we?
Right.
Okay. I mean, all we're doing is directing them to give us an answer.
And that kind of goes back to a letter that we tried to get at one point, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The main basis I brought that up is because he was talking about minimum flow, and we use those
elevations
right. To that's your point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while we're on that subject. Mentioned in Tracy Fancher, I did get a hold of Mr. Beamer, is it? That you had a hard time and had a good visit with him.
Yeah.
And Tracy called me back and I wasn't there, so we've been playing tag on the phone, and we need to keep that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, Tracy was going to kind of ramrod it to see if he could get other monies and whether we want to wait to raise it before Beamer does his asphalt and this and that and the other. So, just a reminder that we need to get that on the table again.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get a hold of it.
That's KDOC, crossing the elevation.
KDOC, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that.
Mr. Beamer told me in this short conversation that I had with him, it didn't make him any difference whether he laid the asphalt on what existed or whether he laid it on the raised area. That's the way he put it. He said, doesn't make me any difference.
Right.
And the way I took Tracy and them to talk, they were interested in getting it raised because they wanted them to take part of that portion of money that they were going to use and raise it. So.
But we need his help to get
yeah.
that worked out, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think another meeting with them with all these issues is good. With the Corps.
Should I add that subject matter to this same letter, or make it? Are they separate people?
Separate,
separate people. Case Fincher and.
Fincher and Heiser.
Heiser, we'll talk about KDOC.
You can CC them on that for sure. Mr. Beamer is the one that called Chuck and I. Actually, I guess called all or called me, and then I made you guys aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Beamer, like B E A.
B R E M M E R.
Yeah, something like that.
May have been Bremer instead of Beeman.
Out of the seven transportation groups, their responses from talking to the public with or citizens within their respective areas, KDOC came up as number one ranked in that particular district.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Ready to move on to Airport Road? Bob, are you ready for us?
On the road, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll ever be ready for you.
Well, I think I understand what you're saying there. You've had lots of practice, too. Okay, what have you got for us?
That's the latest version of this.
I'll just read it. On August 30th, Tane County Commission approved the purchase of 1/2 mile segment of Branson Airport Boulevard, as shown in Exhibit A, for $2 million, pending MoDOT approval of the $2 million to reimburse the county for the expense of purchasing the road. The County Commission feels it is important that the taxpayers own the only paved access road to the county-owned airport. The fact that the road is not publicly controlled and owned has created several potential problems for the county. I'm sure you can appreciate the difficulties presented, ranging from law enforcement issues to economic development opportunities. It is my sincere hope that MoDOT and its leadership will work with the county in purchase of this road by looking at all funding mechanisms available.
This is Exhibit A, which shows the road. And it doesn't include the bridge.
It does not include the bridge, okay?
Okay. Questions or comments?
I move that we approve and sign this letter as presented.
I got questions or comments.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I'll second for discussion. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I don't see that if I was MoDOT, I wouldn't purchase from the county or from anybody else without a description of the road, and also what particular part of this road is there road on the other side of the part that they're purchasing, that we're purchasing, is there parts that, why was the bridges left out? I mean, there's several questions to be answered on $2 million of monies that are going to come out of the road and bridge
budget. Now, they're not coming out of the Road and Bridge Department, and they're not even going to touch Road and Bridge Department. They're going to come through MoDOT, probably in the form of an economic development grant, and we're a pass-through entity. So Road and Bridge budget doesn't. I mean, whatever they pay us, if it's a dollar or $2 million, it comes in and goes out in the same increment. So it's not going to touch Road and Bridge budget. When we are strictly in the way because the MoDOT needs MoDOT and or Missouri Economic Development Division needs a pass-through entity, and since it should be a county-owned and maintained road, that's why they chose us. I suppose it could be Hollister just the same, but Hollister doesn't have continuous road out there. So, and I think doesn't this? I haven't looked at the attachment, but. Where is our 422 acres overlay to this?
It's not on our 422 acres. It's on the map to the left, I guess, to the northwest. The line, anyway, there's a little key that has a line and says county-owned property or something to that effect on the exhibit, doesn't it?
Property line.
And a county line property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Branson Land LLC is their property.
That's correct.
Well, Jim's looking at that, Bob. Let me ask you a question, if I may.
Okay.
It says, I'm sure you can appreciate the difficulties presented ranging from law enforcement issues. What law enforcement issues do we have because we don't own that road?
Well, if it's a private road rather than our road, it may be that certain things can't be enforced. And how do you close down a public road? Or how do you keep a road from being closed down if it's a private road? I wasn't prepared to come up with some, but I can. I told you that I prepared it from a letter that had previously been prepared, and I've even tempered that down some by saying potential. But I could certainly come up with some if you wanted me to, I believe.
I think I asked the question back a meeting or two ago about maybe mentioned the TDD or what agreement. I can't imagine that road is not some kind of legal easement or right-of-way or something that is open to the public. Is that wrong?
I would imagine that my understanding is through the TDD that we probably have an easement along that road to the airport. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
James showed me a document earlier that showed basically we had a disclaimer in their right to access for inspection. I mean, reason, but it doesn't say 7x24. It just says we have a right to access the land because, I mean, you have your contract in front of you, James. I could read. I'm not going to help your argument, but I just want to use that document.
There's some specific documents in the TDD also that
is
deal
right,
with...
Right to access is what it says?
Yeah, it says the district agrees that the county and its duly authorized agents shall have the right at a reasonable time during normal business hours and except in events of emergency, the right to access.
Right to access the property. So we're basically, that document gives us right to access it, but doesn't give us 7x24 access. Unless in time of emergency.
There's two other things that is a little concerning. There's a CID issued on the road before and the bridge before. Does that CID have a right someday to, if they can't come up with the money to pay their CID off, do they have the right to put in a toll bridge prior to getting to a public road? Do they have a right to put in a toll road before they get to the public road? And the private road issue that had been brought up this morning, since the BOE went into it so hard and heavily, is Hollister Schools needing some money out of this and should be entered in as an omitted property to the taxation process.
You lost me on that.
All the road that's out there, if it's that private that it can come up for sale and has the ability to be sold back and forth, the right to sell, basically, does that get past the statutes of taxation?
So do you have it assessed?
I don't have it assessed at this point. But under discovery, I would have the right to put it back on the tax rolls as omitted properties. I taxed a bridge once, and a main bridge going into there, and took a lot of abuse of whether that was a public bridge or not, and finally the BOE decided that it was. But now I'm learning through the years that maybe it wasn't, that it should have been taxed all these years.
So say that again for me. You taxed the first bridge, the main bridge coming in, but you've removed it. It's not taxed now?
It was taken off by the BOE, I believe, back in 99 or something, that it was a public bridge, that public used it, that it was a part of the association. But then that's what really confused me when it was put in a SID as of last year or this spring. So there's some taxation issues there that I believe would have to be looked at. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, I don't see where given chunks are enough. If they're giving you the road in its entirety, that'd be a different story, different argument all of it. But just to give a chunk out of it that might be have the, if it's private road before you get to it, what would keep them from tearing that portion out before it to change it? And there's also one last thing. I know Jim always looked forward to me saying that.
James,
one.
Yes, I do.
Two, three, four, five, six names on the easement. Not just the airport, not just Taney County. So who's going to get the $2 million? That was my question. Does anybody else on this easement list have a right to portions of that money?
And I would just want to comment that if it's a bad deal, MoDOT, Missouri Economic Development, it's their money, they wouldn't do the deal if it's a bad deal. And I think this letter just like strictly is doing a pass-through once again. So,
but Jim, the question I've got is, this seems to be a rush deal, or they'd have a description on it of what what the state was buying, they would have a description on it, a survey or something. And if we were buying something, they'd have a survey on it. But I can't figure out how. Is this a time
this is just,
restraint?
It's just a letter saying that we're open to the concept once again. And I think they're still trying to find the money and do all that. I mean, we're basically saying with this letter, we're open to it, but we're still not committing to it. There's still more documentation if money would come. Let's put it that way. There's a whole lot more things we'd have to do.
Well, I'm going to recommend that you, if you gentlemen decide to pass it, that you remove the page where it's got all three commissioners on there, because I'm not going to sign it the way it is. I mean, I just don't think it's good business. And if you guys want to, the signature line, I mean, if you want to make it where it's the presiding commissioner that signs it and it's passed 2-1, well, that's, you know, I would request that because I'm not going to sign something that don't have a description or nothing else on it.
Who has the original notes of the letter? Is it you, Chuck? Is that the other letter that they sent to us?
I don't think I do. I never have seen it, Jim, and that's I've got the first revised.
Let's see if Bob's got it. Do you have the original letter?
No. Oh, I believe maybe Jillian has it, but I what I brought down is what you've got. I mean, I've got other stuff here.
That's not the same thing.
No, this is not.
Okay.
Didn't I forward it to you, Bob, with Jillian when I first got it? It
must have been the Jillian.
Let me see the signature page. I sent it to you, Bob. How long ago was this? A while back.
Jillian gave me something to look at.
Yeah. Let me see.
And
Well, Jim's doing that. I'll read the description of the road for anybody curious and listening. The road is on Branson Land, LLC, property. Branson Land is owned by substantially the same investor group as Branson Airport, LLC. Branson Land owns the land that surrounds the airport property, which is owned by Taney County and leased to Branson Airport via the Branson Regional Airport Transportation Development District operating lease. We propose that MoDOT purchase this half-mile section of road for Taney County from Branson Land, LLC. The map below identifies the section of road discussed and the land that is owned by Taney County and Branson Land, LLC. Bob, if we were to move forward, it may not be a fair question, but if we were to go ahead and sign this and they came up with the $2 million funding and some kind of issue came up about who owned the land or any of these things we've talked about or something else, would we have the right to not accept the money?
I mean, sure, we can send the money back and say we've decided not to purchase the property. Here's your $2 million back. We have to carry forward with the $2 million and not spend the $2 million. And we've agreed to purchase as part of the road, but it hasn't been described legally, specifically for us. We would need a legal description of the portion of the road that we were purchasing, and we would also need the owners to sign off on it. And if there's more than one owner, as James has indicated that there are, if one entity was getting the money, we would have to have the other owners of the road signing off on it. And if we can't get any of those things, then we can't go forward with the deal. But
I mean, MoDOT's going to require a survey. I mean,
I can't imagine that they
no
would.
One's gonna, no one's going to exchange money without a survey.
No, I can't imagine that they would.
Okay.
If there was some kind of a problem with the survey or whatever.
Because when you do survey, you do basically title searches to see who owns the property and if there's any conflict of the ownership of the road and where the road lies. And I mean, there's a lot of steps involved. It doesn't say, I mean...
With this letter, all you're saying is, MoDOT, we're willing to purchase this road. It'll help solve some problems or potential problems that we have out there. If you give us $2 million... we're going to purchase this portion of the road. That's all you're saying.
Yep.
Whether you should do that or not is, you know, obviously you guys vote, but...
What about the question of Bob that about so many owners or so many names on there? I don't understand all that myself. And I'm sitting in a commissioner's position. As the old saying is, I should know.
Well, you know, I would say that the easement itself probably is an easement for the benefit of several different property owners around there. So maybe Branson Landing LLC, I mean Branson Land LLC. It could be GEP. There could be some other entities
their names
out
are
there.
All, their names are all on there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine why they wouldn't be.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If this is purely a economic development issue, then if the money's appropriated and there's six different people's names on there, isn't somebody, I mean, if my name was on there, wouldn't I feel like I should get part of that funding?
If it's done subject to, I mean, if they have to sign off on it, otherwise the deal isn't consummated, then they're either going to sign off on it or they're not. Either these other entities want the airport to get the money or not. And it's my understanding that they're probably going to want the airport to get that money. Otherwise, that money goes away.
if they don't want the airport to get that money, sure, they can make a claim that they have a portion of that money coming, and then the deal doesn't get consummated. I don't know anything about the particulars of how they're funding this, and you know, but you know, that's not part of what I was assigned to do. So,
cop out sounds like to me.
She's looking.
Any other discussion, concerns, comments, observations? Let's vote then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
What about the form? Do you care of all three names? You, the letter that came through doesn't. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think it would matter.
You just have two names, or just Chuck's name?
Chuck, you care one?
I'd rather it would be just the presiding commissioner on the vote show myself.
It was 2-1.
2-1, and
there was a vote approving it. So yeah. I mean, Danny said he won't sign it. I don't know why, but he didn't. He voted against it, obviously. But.
Yeah, I just don't.
I would.
So many questions about it. I hate to sign it.
It surely wouldn't be good to have a blank spot, but I don't see any reason for you not to sign it as well. It's in your district.
I mean,
it's in my district.
It's in his district.
Is it in your district?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We can put two on there, or we can put one on there. It's just obviously, if you put two on there, there's one missing.
Yeah,
that's you put one on there, there's nothing missing.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I've got to sign it whether I voted for it or not.
It happens all day long, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if it had a description or something on it, I'd be signing it. Even though I didn't vote for it, I'd be signing it.
Well, it's got a description.
That.
Hey, it's not. I mean, we could get a survey, I bet.
The thing of it is if that you couldn't buy a piece of property with that description if you wanted to.
But before anything happens, we will have, and
we will absolutely have. About it.
There will be a description. So if that's your holdup,
this is not the purchase right here.
This is just a letter saying we're interested in helping out the airport. I'll call Jeff before we do it, and I'll see what if Jeff needs all three signatures. Do you want to call Jeff and see if he needs three?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll call Jeff, see if he needs three. And if he needs three, then we'll push the issue.
I'll have to have part of that money.
All right, let me find out from Jeff what he's looking for.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
What else we got?
That's it.
Is that it?
From this morning,
seemed like the table
you wanted me to look at the grant that Maggie brought in.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with signing that as long as we were properly posted this morning for signing it. I don't know what we were posted for.
It was JAG something. What was the JAG thing?
It was right at the... Can you pull the original?
But she said she needed ASAP, and I mean...
I don't have any problem with making a motion on it.
I think we posted JAG, but I thought we should post only JAG intergovernmental agreements, I'm concerned. But okay. She's pulling up right this second.
Well,
she needs to get that in, though. Isn't it an emergency kind of?
I don't think it was. I think it just came in.
Well, she said she got it Thursday or Friday, and she didn't see me about it Friday because her husband was in an accident.
Right, but you weren't.
I wasn't available Friday anyway, so...
We need to post it.
You need to post it and approve or disapprove the JAG grant.
JAG grant. We'll post it.
We can post it for... Now, we can always find out if it's an emergency, we can call Maggie. I'll let the ladies upstairs call them if it's an emergency.
We can have a call in.
Yeah. If it's an emergency, we can do it ASAP. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I did fail to talk to you guys about a letter I received...
Oh, yeah, you were going to bring that up, weren't you, right at lunchtime?
I can bring it up in open session. I don't
care. I think it's the guys will like it.
Okay. I don't know if you remember, but we got a letter from the Missouri Board for Architects, Professional Engineers, Professional Land Surveyors, and Landscape Architects back some time ago, asking us if the appropriate officials would like to appear, and it was a phone call. They wanted the County Commission to appear in front of their board when they came to Branson for a meeting. Let me just read it to you, if I may. I'm writing this letter as the general counsel to the Missouri Board of Architects, and he goes on, if you are not the commission's attorney, please let me know who I should contact. The board is in possession of information regarding several buildings recently constructed or currently under construction in Taney County that have not utilized required professionals in their design and construction in violation of Chapter 327. We understand Taney County does not require sealed drawings for commercial buildings, but it does review proposals for construction for certain buildings to review matters it's determined are necessary for that construction. In the past, the board has met with officials from counties and cities to discuss such matters and will be in extending such an invitation to Taney County for the board's meeting in Branson in November. Purpose of this letter is to let you know as the attorney for the county that such an invitation will be forthcoming and appreciate your cooperation for arranging for that meeting. Please let me know within the next 30 days if appropriate county officials be willing to meet with the board in November. And there was some phone conversation as well, and he wanted to be the county commission. Well, I wrote back, and I read it to you guys, a real nice letter. I don't have it in front of me, where basically I said, look, if there's somebody doing something they shouldn't do without the required professionals, under 327, it's a misdemeanor, maybe you ought to contact Mr. Merrill. But the county commission is certainly willing to meet with you, but not as the county commission. Perhaps one of the county commissioners with me alongside is willing to attend your meeting. Otherwise, the Taney County Commission meets regularly, and depending on what you want to accomplish, Monday morning gets quite a bit of publicity. And if it's another time where you don't want a lot of publicity, then a work session would be fine. We'd be perfectly willing to meet with you anytime you want to come down. And but we didn't want to meet with them as a commission, because there's obviously, you know, we have to post and all that sort of thing. Here's a follow-up letter. Mm-hmm. Lovely letter.
It's a lovely letter.
Is by an attorney?
No, this is, well, I think the attorney probably wrote it, but this is a follow-up to Mr. Curtis Thompson, their attorney's letters to you dated May 11th and June 11th. After review of your letter dated June 4th, the members of the board were still of the opinion that it would be advantageous to meet face-to-face with the Taney County Commission in order to discuss the county's permitting process and to establish an open dialogue with one another, especially as it relates to the practice of architecture and engineering, as well as the enforcement of Chapter 327. The board routinely meets with various county/code officials throughout the state to discuss similar issues within their jurisdictions, and have found that all such meetings were not only informative, but very productive and extremely beneficial to both parties. Therefore, I've been directed to extend in good faith an invitation for the Taney County Commission to meet with the members of the board on Tuesday, November 9th, 2010, at 1:15 p.m. The meeting will be held in the Sahara A meeting room at the Ramada Oasis Convention Center, located at 2546 North Glenstone, Springfield, Missouri. It'd be nice if the letter ended there, but then it goes on. The board will be meeting with other individuals in closed session on November 9th, and it is not possible to predict exactly the length of each interview. For that reason, we ask that when you arrive at the Ramada Oasis Convention Center and locate the Sahara A meeting room, you please have a seat outside the door. You will be called just as soon as the board members are able to see you.
It gets better.
Enclosed for your information is a copy of a document entitled Information for Individuals Requested to Meet with the Missouri Board for Architects, Professional Engineers, Professional Land Surveyors, and Landscape Architects. Further notice regarding date and time of the Taney County Commission's meeting with the board will not be furnished. In order for us to plan our agenda as effectively as possible, we ask that you please complete the enclosed form indicating that the Taney County Commission will voluntarily agree to meet with the board on Tuesday, November 9th, 2010, and return it by no later than September 19th, 2010. Failure to voluntarily appear on the requested date may result in the board exercising its authority granted under Section 327.041.1 to subpoena the Taney County Commission to its January 25th meeting in Jefferson City, Missouri. Yours very truly, Judy Kemper, Executive Director of the Missouri Board for... Well, I looked up this 327.041.1. It gives them the right to subpoena witnesses on a particular case, and they haven't mentioned any particular case to us. And so I doubt very much, although who knows, they may have the authority, but I doubt very much whether they have the authority to subpoena you if there's not a particular case. And furthermore, they don't have the authority to subpoena the Taney County Commission. Now, they could subpoena each of you individually, but they can't subpoena the Taney County Commission, and they can't tell the Taney County Commission what to do as far as meeting. And they don't have any authority to do a whole lot except in the area of disciplining architects and professional engineers and asking the Attorney General to go after people that are practicing without a license. But
if
you can't tell, this letter was particularly... if you guys... I mean, they act like you're their lackeys, so...
When we had, my daddy and I had the auto supply store,
We
had a little cartoon about this size right above the counter, and it had some little cartoon characters, you know. They're bent over laughing. And the saying below says, "You want it when?"
Yeah.
So maybe we could draw one of those with a little different comment. You want it where?
I can write several different kinds of letters in response if you'd like, but
no, it's what do they want?
I mean, don't know.
An interrogation. I think they want an interrogation of why we don't have billing codes. I really think that's what it is.
I told them in our letter. I
sent them a copy of the last election.
I told them in the letter. The Taney County Commission shares your concerns regarding unlicensed people doing this sort of thing. In fact, they put building codes on the recently on the ballot, and it was defeated by worse than 70-30%. We do not have building codes. Our planning and zoning people should not be inspecting buildings at all. They do not, and they should not. And anytime there's stormwater plans, we require that they be stamped by certified professionals under your control. I mean, I put all that in there. I was as nice as I could be and told them we don't have building codes. Jeff Merrill will be the person to contact if people are practicing without a license. And I think the whole thing has to do with people that come into planning and zoning and draw with a crayon where their building's going to be located on their property. It has nothing to do with anything but setbacks and height requirements with planning and zoning. And anything beyond that has nothing to do with planning and zoning.
I think we just do nothing.
Ignore it.
Yeah. I think no letter, see what they do. The more I thought about when you said you had a nice letter and a mean letter, as much as I'd want to participate in helping you write that letter, probably no letter is probably best. At least my opinion.
So, I'm fine with that.
All right. So you don't want me to respond and RSVP for you?
No.
Nothing. Do nothing for me, Bob, on this.
That one commissioner said, "Oh, hockey puck."
One commissioner said, "Pound sand."
Are we done?
We're done.
We're done.
All right.
I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Oh, we had one more thing. Danny wanted to know why we were getting together for two small meetings on Wednesday after.
I visited him.
Oh, you did. Okay. Well, good. Then we're all good for Friday.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Friday.